Morning.
Morning.
There isn't any Old Testament reading this morning. And the New Testament reading you've already just heard. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.
As I mentioned in our welcome, we are continuing our sermon series on Epiphany, wherein we hear from members of our faith community stories of epiphanies that they have had during their life. None of you need me to introduce Laura to you, for almost all of you have known her even longer than I have. But Laura is really a wonderful example of someone who is an example to me, and I think to all of us. And I'm just so grateful that you are embodying the scripture this morning. And that scripture says that we aren't to hide our light, not to cover it up, or as the children's song says, not to hide it under a bushel. And you, Laura, are telling us your story and letting your light shine out. But you also do it in a very humble and a very beautiful way. So thank you very much for speaking to us this morning.
The first Sunday Scott talked about epiphanies, he mentioned that a person could have more than one. That was my experience. Many of you know I attend Al-Anon meetings. In 2013, I studied and worked the 12 steps of Al-Anon family groups for the first time. I did this with the help and guidance of a sponsor. During this time, I had several spiritual awakenings, epiphanies. However, I only have time to share one of them this morning. Steps 4 and 5 involve taking a fearless and moral inventory of ourselves, and then admitting to God, ourselves, and another person the nature of our wrongs. The inventory is supposed to include assets as well as defects. As is common, I started my list with my faults and things I did wrong. There are two situations from my past that I never, ever thought I would share with anyone, ever. Since I had built up a trust with my sponsor, I shared these with her. Both situations involved stealing money. The first was when I was a youngster and would take money from my mom's purse. I was the oldest in a large family with little money. The last thing mom needed was for someone to be taking money from her. The other situation happened many decades ago and involved stealing $10, and that's all the information I'll give you. For many years, I felt ashamed, embarrassed, and guilty about what I had done. As I shared these with my sponsor, she did not condemn me. In fact, she indicated she knew of other people who had stolen money, a whole lot more than I did. She helped me to understand that all humans make mistakes, some worse than others. Steps 8 and 9 are about making amends to the people we harmed. My amends to my mom were done by calling her and apologizing. She accepted my apology, but indicated she had not remembered me taking money out of her purse. This surprised me because I got caught many times and received quite a spanking each time. Making amends for stealing the $10 was more difficult because those affected and the place it happened no longer exist. I could not make direct amends. I thought maybe I had made amends by changing my behavior, but my sponsor, in her God-given wisdom, recognized that I still felt guilty because I had not made a specific amend for that situation. She suggested I make a donation to an organization as a specific amend. I anonymously sent money to an organization important to me for more than the $10 to account for inflation. As I made each of these amends, I felt the guilt and shame I had carried for so long being lifted. This was my epiphany, when a revelation helped me understand and feel a God-given wisdom. I no longer had to carry that guilt around. By making an amends, a penance, and atonement, I could free my mind and heart of negativity and orient my heart and mind to focus on positive things. What was characteristic about my epiphany was that it was communicated to me by another person that I trusted. God's wisdom can come from another human being, help us understand, and change our lives forever. Listening to the God-given wisdom of others and sharing my own experiences, feelings, and thoughts are instrumental in my ability to cope with what life throws at me today. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.
Friends, when I first was called to this church, that which called me here was the people. Now, because I had limited interaction with this congregation through the search and call process, it was my relationship specifically with Jim Bedard, who was the chair. And also, it was with Anne, who was not only the treasurer, but more so for me, she was sort of the corresponding secretary. She was the communication between the search committee and myself. And so that which called me to this church was first and foremost the people and the relationships. And the relationships expanded within that search committee before I even arrived, with Judy Palmer and Priscilla. I know that Mary, you at least sat in on one or two meetings. Roger Brown, who I have become very close to, also was on that search committee. And as I remember that and those that called me to this ministry, I remember that people are first and foremost the salt and the light that Christ calls us to be. But beyond the people, like Laura, who gave such a beautiful testimony and is a role model to me, there are other aspects of light and salt that compose this congregation. And I would like to just highlight that which Priscilla did, and that is our building. I cannot count how many times I have walked along Main Street and I have seen the light shining from our steeple. And it's particularly beautiful in winter, when it seems to be darker, and it seems, well, it is quite a bit colder. And that light and that steeple is always on. And I don't think there is scarcely a time where I have not paused for a moment, not just to look at its aesthetic beauty, but just to ponder for a moment what that light means for a faith community in this particular town, in this particular state, and in this particular country. I am so grateful that when I arrived, the congregation had already made a decision to restore and to repair that steeple. But it really was done, you know, for more than just aesthetic reasons. It was intended to ensure that for generations, even centuries from now, that light will continue to shine in the darkness in the form of ministry to this community and world. Finally, our ministries, the Brattleboro Center for Children, Alcoholics Anonymous, Loaves and Fishes, especially, it provides literal salt to hundreds in our community by feeding the most vulnerable. And I really pray that as we have our congregational meeting following this worship service, that the meeting will not be a meeting, but it will be a continuance of this worship service. Because it's what we report in this financial meeting and what we aspire to do in the future that is our light and our salt in this world. This is the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded, Amen.